So in our Bag of Pucks group chat, one of the things I sent over to Allison immediately after their group stage was that his sexy dark horse pick was already out, and my sexy dark horse pick was in. So, just had to brag a little bit, and I thought I needed to brag it publicly as well. Your good old Denmark couldn't even make it out of the group stage, but my dark horse Croatia, we're into the Elite Eight right now.
Well, there's a reason why the Bag of Pucks podcast is a hockey podcast. And is it really a sexy pick if they made the finals last time?
They were kind of like a dark horse. They were a Cinderella team, I think, at the last World Cup too. Like, no one expected them to make the finals, and I think again this season, I don't think anyone thought they were gonna make the finals either. Like, I think a lot of people think maybe they were gonna be a round of 16 team. May Round of 8 was pushing it too, but the round of 8, the fact that they did better than Denmark, I think proves my point that I make better picks than you do.
My takes should be sticking to hockey, I guess. It's okay because it's the Bag of Pucks podcast, so that's all right.
Well, I know from a certain friend that even your hockey picks have been quite bad, especially that your fantasy hockey team. I mean, we're facing each other actually this week, so I don't think I should be talking to you. I don't think I can ask you for any advice for my fantasy hockey team then.
For the record, Jeffrey just asked for my advice, so clearly he values my opinion.
Well, that's the one thing I always find weird about fantasy hockey is that, like, the one week that you face someone, you just never speak to them for the entire week. Like, no
No,
trade
I'm
talk.
not that immature.
No, but it happens though, doesn't it?
No, I'll still talk to people. I have no problem talking to people.
Yeah, but like all the trade talk goes away. Like, no, nothing about like, oh, I might think about picking anyone up. Like, it's just silence. And then once the last game on Sunday finishes, it's like, okay, let's resume trade talks again. Let's, I don't know. I've
You're
always
a
found.
child, Jeffrey.
That was just my take on fantasy, but I'm just in a good mood because Croatia is still in the World Cup. Denmark isn't. Of course, I mean, the big thing is we both cheered for Canada, and unfortunately Canada lost. They scored what?
One goal.
Yeah, I don't think we can count the own goal as a goal, can we?
No.
Yeah, I mean, like, Morocco has only let in one goal this entire World Cup, and it was an own goal that was, initiated by Sam Amedkhouri. So, I guess you gotta give Canada props. At least they put the ball past, was it Bono or Banu?
Bono.
Bono? I don't know. It was painful to watch Spain lose today too.
All right, enough of this football talk, Jeffrey. This is the bag of pucks, not the bag of soccer balls. So why don't we get the soccer talk started? God, oh my goodness, that was terrible. Let's get the hockey talk started, Jeffrey.
You're listening to the Bag of Pucks podcast, part of the National Podcast Network.
And we are back. So I had a whole bunch of like random goalie related hockey thoughts, all right? So this might be a little heavy on goalies this episode.
Isn't that what we talked about last week, except we talked about goalie injuries?
I guess we just love goalies. What can I say? And in hockey, besides goalies, what do I love?
Right-handed catching goalies.
Yes, and what? But look beyond goalies. When you think of me and hockey, what do you think of, Jeffrey?
Truculence.
Good guess. I didn't think you'd think that one through, but yeah, what else?
Stupid stuff about hockey.
Keep going. Can't believe you have not guessed this one yet.
The LA Kings.
There you go. So, we all heard the news that Cal Peterson, my right-handed catching LA King goalie, got sent down to the minors. And is it normal that I'm a little concerned?
Well, I think you have to be, right? Because I think everyone assumed that after the season, once Quick's contract was finished, he would be taking over the net. So you would assume at this point, or even like last year, right? It was kind of like a 1A, 1B situation. I think people were hoping that Peterson would be able to step into that, you know, split role again and then eventually take over the net. But it's a bad sign if, you know, he needs to head to the minors to, you know, get his confidence back.
I will say, though, he has done very well in the minors in a very small sample size, all right? We're looking at 2 games, all right? But he's got a 947 in 2 games. But also, I guess to a degree, you would kind of expect that for someone who's making $5 million on a 3-year modified no-trade deal, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're facing not as great competition, you know, like you're... I mean, there have been players that have, you know, stunk in the AHL and then looked magnificent. But at the same time, like, Peterson is, you know, an NHL goalie. Like, it's probably his contract that makes it look worse. But, like, he's based, like, his floor is, like, backup goalie, right? And at the NHL level?
Yeah, I think if you asked him right now to be a backup goalie, it would be fine. Don't get me wrong. But that's not what you're paying him as, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's because he catches right. Maybe he needs to switch over and catch left, and then maybe his save percentage will go up a couple of points there.
Get out of here. I think it just comes down to, right, like, at 1A, you probably, like, for $5 million, you probably want a 1A goalie, right? Like, $5 million is not a backup goalie. That's $3 million, $2.5 million, right?
Yeah, and I think they kind of bet big on Peterson. I mean, he had okay, you know, stats last season. It wasn't amazing, but, you know, he did look like he, you know, could, you know, be a starter, or at least, you know, a 1A, 1B type. So I think the Kings, it's not like they had many options unless they were looking into free agency, or I also have a feeling they might just re-sign Quick to like a 1 or 2 year deal, maybe. Like, to me, I think they were like hoping that, you know, Peterson could continue growing, you know, take over the starter role. But at least it's a short-term contract. They didn't sign him to like some massive, you know, 6-year deal to be a starter, right? Like, it was kind of one of those, you know, show me deals for a potential starting goalie. And not the most movable contract, unfortunately, but, you know, I think that, you know, I feel like Peterson will rebound and we'll see him at some point throughout this NHL season.
Well, I think the concerning part for me as a Kings fan is if you look at his year-to-year history in the NHL, right? So some of these are smaller sample sizes, right? But he went from his first year as 924, then 922, then 9-11, and then last year at 8.95, and this year 8.68. That's a concern, right? Like, at the end of the day, as a player who's currently, what, 28? Yeah, 28. He should be hitting his peak right now. And the concern is, why is he getting a lower save percentage every year as he should be growing? I mean, that's my concern.
I mean, like, I don't think you can count those first couple of years where he's only, you know, kind of spot starting. He was kind of in between both the NHL and AHL. But, like, I think his base was always going to be that, like, 900 level in terms of his save percentage. I think this year, I don't know, the Kings they're a decent team, but I think they're not great defensively. I think they're not the greatest team defensively, and I wonder that, like, maybe that's why his save percentage isn't as great. I mean, he's not doing his team any favors, right? Like, he doesn't have a great, like, underlying stats too as a goalie. So I think, you know, maybe he can work out some mechanics when he's in the AHL, you know, not have that pressure of being an NHL goalie, and then maybe, you know, in a month or two, like, I wouldn't be surprised in the new year he's back on the regular team. And, you know,
I saw an interesting stat actually. Can you guess what, so in your mind, an average goalie, what's their save percentage, an average league average goalie
for this year
no, just in general, when I tell you, Jeffrey, what does a league average goalie have as their save percentage?
I want to say 905. I feel like we've had this discussion like years ago, but I want to say 905.
What do you think it is this year?
Based on my fantasy teams, I want to say not great. I think I want to say it's like in the 890s this year.
Okay, if it was an 890, Jonathan Quick would still... Sorry, not Jonathan. Cal Peterson would still be in the NHL. So in the 2015-2016 season, it was a 915, 1670 and 913. A 1718 is a 912. And then 1819 and 1920 are both 910. 2021 is 908. 2022 is 907. And this year it's a 904. So league goaltending has consistently gotten worse. But at the same time, except for a one-year blip, average goals has gone up, which you'd expect, right? Like, they kind of correlated. Is there something going on with goalies or something going on with forwards?
Well, aren't goalie equipment like smaller this year, or it's been getting smaller? Like, no longer are goalies looking like they're got pillows stuffed underneath their jerseys. Like, they actually, like, I want to say goalies are, I don't know. I feel like obviously changes in their equipment has, you know, made it a little bit harder for them to block the entire net. But I feel like we no longer have as many as, like, you know, as many like stalwart goalies. I feel like goalies in general are just not as good as they were 5-10 years ago. Like, how many goalies that are currently playing right now would you say are locks to be Hall of Famers, right? Like, I think that just the general goalie group is just not as good. Like, I think the forwards, yeah, there's good forwards, but I don't think it's like they're the reason why goalies are shit. I think it's just goalies themselves are making themselves, or they're just not as good as they were before.
So yes, they are wearing less gear, but I feel like they're also more active, I think it'd be rare to use, than the years past. But okay, you know what? I am actually curious about this. If every goalie retired right now, or actually not retired now, if they continue the same trajectory as they were right now, who is a Hall of Famer? I think there's a couple locks, right? Like, I'd say if the trajectory was the same, Vasilevskiy would be a Hall of Famer. I would say Fleury is a Hall of Famer. I would say if you still count Price as active, then yeah, Price. I don't know if you still consider him active. I would say Shesterkin is probably on the way there. Like, who else would you... Does Gibson count? Or, but like, I feel like Gibson and Hellebuck are in the... maybe the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame, not the Hockey Hall of Fame. Like, who do you have on your Hall of Fame list?
I would say the only two locks would be Fleury and Vasilevskiy. Like, even Price, maybe because of his international career, but at the same time, he's kind of like an iffy pick, I would say. And even Shesterkin, right? He's young in his career, and yes, like, if he continues the same trajectory, but like, at the same time, like, he's there's so much variable still left in him that, like, there's a good chance he doesn't stay on this course, right? Like, between, like, him and Sorokin, right? Like, really, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, the two Russian goalies, who does better, but also, like, who then takes on, like, that international responsibility, and are they going to end up splitting? Like, I think you also have Vasilevskiy, right? So, like, I'm tempted to say, like, it's only really Fleury is, like, and Vasilevskiy are like sure locks, and really everyone else is like a meh to be a Hall of Famer, in my opinion, right? But like, it's maybe it's error adjusted, maybe like they would be in the Hall of Fame if, you know, goals were down a little bit. But like, to me, like, Fleury, because of his longevity, and Vasilevskiy just because he's won, are like the only two locks I would say for Hall of Fame goalies.
Yeah, I mean, like, it has to really, you really, you know, you really has to do with Shesterkin is more about guessing how the rest of his career goes,
Don't get me wrong. It's just, I'm not saying if he retired right now, he would be a Hall of Famer. He's not. Like you said, the sample size is too small. Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of Hall of very good guys. Don't get me wrong. So I think like a Gibson, Hellebuck, Quick, Saros, like those are Hall of very good guys, but they're not even close to Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I feel like gone are the days are, you know, my Martin Brodeurs, the Roberto Luongos, the Hasek's, like those guys are also, you know, one in a million goalies, right? But like in this day and age, I think just the overall, like the concept of a goalie is different where, you know, in the past, you wanted goalies that could steal your games. But really, there's not goalies that do that anymore. It's goalies are there to keep you games, right? Like, that's why we see such a trend in that 1A, 1B, you know. You want, you know, two decent goalies. You don't, like, it's gone over the days are, like, the Winnipeg model of, like, Hellebuck and Rittich, where, like, Rittich will only play on the second night of a back-to-back, and Hellebuck will take all the other starts, right? Like, we don't have that anymore, and I think that's just like the way teams are built now, where, you know, they're not looking for those goalies. And goalies themselves aren't being developed to be like game stealers, right? They're just there to, you know, almost like manage the game, almost just try to keep your team in it. Like, I don't see them like playing in ways where they're there to steal games anymore.
Okay, but how much of the 1A, 1B is because of those, like, how do I put this?
You're saying that you don't have like a Luongo and Brodeur anymore. Is that because of 1A1B or as a result of 1A1B? In the sense of you have those 1A1Bs and you end up not playing 70 games. So you don't have those players who you knew as a workhorse. Like, is it more of a chicken or the egg story? I think that's best to put it.
I think that it's because goalies aren't trained anymore to be like, to like play, you know, 70 games at the same level. I think goalies these days are more prepared to be only be able to play like 50 something odd games where they're like, you know, fully like in like, it's like they're trained to only be good for 50 games, right? Like, you make them play 60 games, they're not going to be as good. So I feel like that's the trend. Like, I think probably statistically, people looked at, oh, you know, when goalies play, you know, 50-something odd games, their numbers were this. But once you saw goalies play 60 games, their numbers dropped. And then you have your outliers like the Luongos and the Brodeurs, but they were recognized as outliers. So I think teams are like, okay, if we can get 50 really good games out of one guy, and we can get, you know, 30 odd games from another guy who's maybe not as good, but, you know, can keep us in games, then we'll, maybe a 1A, 1B model works better than trying to find these outliers who are going to get you 70 games and will give you consistently good numbers, and then just having a backup who is just there to give the starter a rest. So I don't know which one you're saying is the chicken, which one's the egg, but I'm going to say like, it's because goalies can't play 60 games at like a all-star level anymore. I think goalies can only play 50-ish games at that level, and that's why teams are switching over to a 1A, 1B system.
Yep, nope, I didn't have an answer for that either. It was more of a let's pick Jeffrey's brain type of deal. So there's a player that I don't think is going to be playing 70 games as a goalie, and I'm getting increasingly confident. I was very confident, but I'm even more confident as the season went on because of one specific incident. Jordan Binnington, do you see what he did?
No, but he's on both of my fantasy teams.
Oh, well, Jeffrey, he kind of just absolutely blasted a penguin. Do you actually not know what's going on?
Like, are you saying like blasted a penguin as in the sense like last year when he like almost got into a fight against a Sharks player type of thing, or?
So he basically, okay, I would also argue that he may have also sold it a little bit. So It was against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Jason Zucker's going behind the net on a rush, and Jordan Binnington kind of lifts his arm up a little, his glove hand a little. Sorry, not a rush. They're going back for to get the puck, the Blues. And Jordan Binnington kind of sticks his hand out and kind of interferes in the play a little. And Jordan Zucker slams into the boards and did not look very good.
Well, I also have Jason Zucker in my other team too. But, I mean, Binnington's always been a guy who's had a little bit of, you know, character, a little bit of swagger around him. I think maybe because he won that cup so early. And the reason why I picked him in my fantasy team is because, you know, game starts are very important. But, like, Thomas Greiss was not going to steal games off of him. But at the same time, like, I'm okay with him showing a little bit of character. Maybe I need to watch the video and just really kind of see, like, what exactly happened. But to me, like, maybe, like, he played last night already, right? Like, and that was, like, I don't know if that was the game against. No, he faced the Rangers yesterday. So, like, he still started, like, right after this incident happened, right? So it wasn't, like, a big thing. But, like, maybe you might see him, you know, lose a start here and there. But I don't know. St. Louis is a team that I think they know, like, Binnington still gives them the best chance to win games. So I might have to disagree with you that he might not, you know, play, like, 60, like, high 60 games.
Well, I think part of the reason why I'm increasingly confident is that you can hear head coach Craig Berube is not impressed, right? Like, before this, a couple of days ago, he tried to hit Jordan Staal. And then, you know, like, I think you do stuff like this when you're, like, you've got that swagger, like you mentioned, right? Like, you just won the cup, you kind of get more leeway. It's not great when you're doing this while you're down, what, 4-1 and 3-1? And then getting pulled after that, and then getting a 10-minute misconduct because you are getting chirped at by the bench of the Penguins. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, this works when you're, like, on a roll. You can kind of say whatever you want. But then as your head coach is like, all right, dude, shut up and just, like, do your job. That's when it's like, oh, gosh, you might be in some trouble. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think, like, just overall, Binnington's had a very, I'd probably say probably one of the weirder seasons in the NHL. Like, he is basically your definition of streaky, I would say, right? Like, I think he's lost 6 straight now, but, like, before that he won, like, 5 straight or something. Like, he's had some, like, yeah, like, this is the weirdest season ever. So he's won 3 straight, then he lost 5 straight, then he won 6 straight, and now he's lost 6 straight. Like, I think he's trying to figure out how can he get more consistent, and I think probably just the anger, right? Like, the fact that, you know, how did I win 6 straight games, but now I'm losing another 6 straight game, like, 6 games straight again, right? Like, so, to me, it's happened. I think he will grow from it. But, I mean, for the sake of my fantasy hockey teams, you know, not for the sake of the Blues. Like, this is for my fantasy hockey team. I'm being selfish here. And I'm going to say, like, Binnington, he's going to learn from it. I mean, Craig Berube, when he tells you something, you listen to him. So I think he'll grow from it. We'll move on from this story, and then hopefully we see him be a little bit more consistent, you know, show his character when he needs to show it, but not, you know, be, you know, emotional in anger, you know, be emotional as in being passionate about, you know, your team and, like, your game and stuff.
I would also say, like, yeah, he said a weird year, but at the same time, I'd also say he's also had probably one of the weirder careers in the sense that the year that he won the cup, people were like, dude, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And then I'm not saying he hasn't, like, fulfilled his potential, but, like, he also hasn't become, like, the torchbearer for Team Canada people kind of thought he'd be, in the sense that it was like, oh, man, it's going to go from Carey Price for Team Canada to Jordan Binnington. It's going to be seamless. It's going to be awesome. He hasn't gotten there, but he also isn't bad. Like, he hasn't regressed like Cal Peterson has. Like, I think he's been so streaky, and it's not just this year. I think the entire career he's been so streaky. It's kind of, I don't know how to judge his body of work.
Does he not remind you a little bit of like a Matt Murray, where, you know, great starts with a career, wins the cup, assumes to be the next starting goalie of the future, like next generation, you know, elite goalie, and then just kind of falters? Like, I wonder, like, if we had this discussion in, you know, in our 2 years, I wonder if, you know, Binnington's rebounded by that. Kind of like, I don't know if you would say Murray's rebounded, but I think Murray's, you know, he settled in into a role that I think was much more suited for him than what we assumed he was going to be in his first 2 years in Pittsburgh.
I think Murray's a good comparison, but in the sense that Murray was, I think everyone knew he was average or pretty good, and they knew that he had a lot of good pieces in front of him. And I think the Blues, they assumed he was just okay, but he didn't have those pieces in front of him, and he absolutely stole it.
Yeah, I guess. I think it'll be an interesting comparison to see these two guys. I mean, the funny thing is Matt Murray's actually younger than Jordan Binnington. But I think it's just interesting. I think Binnington, Peterson, I think just in general, goalies this year have just been really, really weird. And I mean, they've always been the hardest, you know, kind of position to ever really understand, right? Like, are they good? Are they not good? Like, you know, they're kind of like the closers in MLB, right? Where closers, 1 year, they get you 50 saves. They look amazing. Can't be, like, no one can hit off them. And then the next season, like, they're crap. And then you're designating them for assignment, trying to get rid of them, like, They're kind of like that these days, I find. Like, they're the closers of the NHL.
Yeah. So, I'll be honest with you. That's all I had, but I know there's something else you want to talk about.
Well, I was just kind of on YouTube today, and kind of coincided with something on The Athletic as well. I guess I always love to see these weird puck personalities where I don't know who is ever on those teams that make up these things, but like they're talking about jersey numbers and, like, you know, what, like, besides the jersey number that you have, well, like, what's a jersey number that you would want, right? Like, and I guess I never asked you, like, what number did you, like, wear growing up?
Honestly, I didn't have a number. I wasn't special enough to choose my own number. I was just given the number. So there's no specific number I ever got. It was just whatever. Usually, I'll be honest with you, it was the larger numbers, just because those are the larger jerseys. And I'm like a physically tall person. I've always been a very tall person. So I always got the larger numbers because they just happened to be the larger size. It's very sad. I know.
No, but I think it's very, like, it's not abnormal, right? Like, I mean, like, looking at something, like, I'm not going to, like, tell everything, right? Like, they have to have Athletic, you know, you have to pay for their, you know, their content. But, like, a guy like Alex Tuck, reason why he wears 89 is because that was the biggest jersey that they could find. And he was the biggest guy on the team. So, you know, got to wear, you know, large numbers. And I don't know, it's just interesting to see, like, why certain people, you know, choose their jersey numbers. And I guess, unfortunately for you, you didn't get to choose your number. But, like, people would always say, like, oh, you know, obviously, like, the idols are always, you know, an influence, right? Like, if you ask most players, like most Swedish players in the NHL currently, I think a lot of them were like, oh, I want to wear 21 for Peter Forsberg, right? I don't know about, like, there's stuff that, like, oh, it was my birthday or my birth year, which kind of makes sense again, fair enough. But then there's some, there's like, oh, it's my parents' birthday or it's my grandparents' birthday. I just find it very interesting to see, like, why there's so many different reasons.
Can I ask how many people had number 19?
I want to say there's a fair bit of people that were picking 19. But I think that's probably like your Joe Sakics, your Joe Thorntons. Probably more Joe Sakic, actually, I would say. But yeah, like 19, I think there's always those common hockey numbers, right? Like I want to say like 19. Those are probably like two pretty big numbers in the NHL, I would say.
Number fours. I'd expect some Bobby Orr, especially the defensive range, but named off a lot of forwards.
Well, see, the thing is, like, I think we don't recognize that these players are a lot younger now, that most of them don't know Bobby Orr as much. I think they see the number five and they see like Nick Lidstrom, right? From like, I think just in general, we see defensemen never really get to choose, I find. They always get the low numbers or they get the really high numbers. There's never like a, like you'll never see a defenseman wear like 11, right? Like they either get the single digits or they get some really weird number that's above 40 or 50.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you ask Lou Lamoriello, he would say you can have number 9 or 12. You cannot have 87.
And that's kind of like the trend, like the other trend these days, right? A lot of like the players coming into the NHL now all have really high numbers, and they all want to wear high numbers. Which is interesting, because I think makes us sound old, but you know, back in the day, we never saw numbers that went past, you know, 30, right? Like if you look at right now in the World Cup, right? I think it's just a rule, but no one's allowed to wear a number over 26 because each roster is only allowed 26 players and you can't even, you know, pick up above that. But like, I wonder if it's just like a trend or if it's more of like, you know, kind of like you, right? You weren't, you know, didn't get to pick your number. So they kind of just gave you whatever number they had remaining, or there's like already some like quote unquote veterans on the team. So you just have to pick a higher number and then players just kind of stick through it all the way through junior and then into the pro levels.
Well, I would also argue you had that first generation of players like a Crosby who wore high numbers and they inspired their younger generations. Right. And as that generation grew up, then it was like, oh, like, I want to, like you said, though, my idol is Crosby with his 87. So I'm going to do 78 or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that's where the trend of 91 really came through, was everyone wanted to wear 19, but then someone else on that team would be wearing 19. So they're like, oh, let's flip the numbers and we'll wear 91. Like the number of times we see people flip those numbers, I think that's why we see so many like 90s these days, because a lot of people still want that 9, or people want that 7 in their jersey, so they picked into the 70s and the 90s these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think that's fair. So Jeffrey, what was your number?
My number was always 13. I wore it almost in every team except one, and to this day I still haven't forgiven my friend for not giving me 13.
Interesting. All right. No, I don't know if I want to go into that story and have you start crying. So, cool.
Do you have any final thoughts for this episode there, Olsen?
No, I don't. My next pick for the World Cup is England. So France is going to win the England versus France game.
Honestly, like it's that bottom bracket is quite open right now. Like, Portugal is looking quite spicy to me. Like, I could see them they're well rested. I mean, after they demolished Switzerland, and then, you know, they could potentially not start all their big guys against Morocco if they feel like it. Like, they could risk it, and then they could have like a fully fresh team against either England or France. Like, Portugal is somehow it has like a really easy route now going to the finals, but I think I'm gonna have to say Brazil. Like, Brazil just looks crazy scary. That attacking front is just, I don't know if there's a team that can stop them at this point, especially on that side of the bracket. Like, I don't know, Brazil is just looking really, really good there.
Yeah, nope, we shall find out. On our next episode, we will have our answer. So with that, we'll talk in a couple weeks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Bag of Pucks podcast, part of the National Podcast Network. You want to complain about us? You can tweet us at BOP_POD on Twitter. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.